How about now, Kenny? How about now, Kenny? Did we get it?
Got it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, I just noticed that one of
our
the switches was
called.
Down. right. Well, I did some cleaning. I may have messed with that main switch. Yeah. So, anyway, sorry about that, everyone, and welcome back to the show.
Should we start
if you
over?
Didn't hear me the first time, it's January 11, 2021. Tammy Erzenbach is here. And Tammy, we talked about the progression of economic development directors. And you're in pretty good company when you consider Travis Lingenfelter and Bennett Bratley were before you.
That's right.
How long have you been on the job?
2 years last week.
2 years last week.
I have been.
Do people still call and ask for Bennett? He's with the city now, right?
No, I have calls for him, but yeah, just different, just fun.
Bennett works with a friend of ours.
Oh.
Gary Kellogg?
Yes, he does.
You know Gary pretty well.
Yes, indeed.
And he's been on the show hundreds of times.
Mm-hmm.
So,
tell us what's involved. What do you do? What does the organization do for the sake of our listeners who may not be familiar?
Well, the main part of my position is to recruit and bring in new business within the county. I have a specialist that his main position is business retention expansion. So once they're here, and for the local businesses that are already here, what can we do to keep them here? What are their needs? What are their do they need something specific? And what can we do to help them to expand, to grow their business? He was just hired just a few weeks ago, so he hasn't really hit the ground with the holidays, but he will very soon.
Good.
And then I also have started the tourism organization, and we're over filming. So a big position. Love it. There's a lot going on right here in the county.
Wow. So. Well, and how competitive that must be. I mean, every city, county in the country has someone essentially looking to fight with you for that same business.
They do. They
and,
do.
And are we getting our share?
We are getting our share, I think. I think the biggest thing, and I have done this in other states.
Oh.
I did this for 5 years in Idaho and 5 years in Utah before I came down here. And the thing that I found that works the best is creating those relationships. We may not have the incentives or some of the other ways to bring down and recruit people, but it's the relationships that bring them down here and letting them know how much we want them and we care about them, how the community is going to work with them. Instead of just bringing them in and having myself meet with them, I make sure that they meet the right people so that when they do come, they've already created those relationships. They want to be here.
So you're meeting with these people and you're selling the assets of the county.
We are.
What are the assets of the county as you see it?
Yeah, what are the big sellers?
The biggest seller is going to be the I-40 and the future I-11, the 93 coming and going. And then the fact that even though we're spread out, we can feed off of Bullhead, Lake Havasu, and Kingman. We can feed off of each other. And we do for workforce, for support, for everything. And so those really are big assets with the communities that and the companies that are coming in. They want to know if they're going to be able to find the right employees. So then we have the college and the university, huge assets.
Oh.
That not every community has a college or university that's so adaptable and able to work with them. But these are. The SBDC, all of our partners, work Arizona at Work, where they will step in and make sure that they're going to be able to help recruit the right people and give them the training dollars and some of the help that they need as well once they get here. So we don't just say come and then drop you, but we're going to make sure and be there for them through the whole time.
This being a county function, do you get into much in the actual communities? Or do you get involved with businesses coming to Havasu or Bullhead or Kingman specifically, or do their they each have their own local organization competing with you?
I'm going to say both.
Okay.
So,
that's an interesting question.
So yes, if the city is working with somebody, I will never step on their toes.
No.
I'm there to assist them and support them. But at the same time, when I bring a company in, I introduce them to the different cities. And if they're wanting to be in that area, and I give it, they're the guide, not me. If they want to be in that area, then I bring in the economic development directors or the city mayors or city administrators or whoever. I bring those people into the picture at that time as well, so that when that time comes, they see us working together as well. But I'm never going to leave the cities out if I'm bringing them in. And then if they bring them in, I'm there to assist them.
Now, do you have a bag of goodies that is available at your resources? Can you entice businesses with sweet real estate attractiveness or tax credits or water resources? Or do you have these kind of powers?
Do you know what we do here in Arizona is a little different than some of the other states? So instead of doing it on a city or county level, we go up to Arizona Commerce Authority.
Oh.
And they have all the resources necessary to help with incentives. And then if we need to work with the city or county, it starts there and then we work down.
What about the chambers of commerce?
Work closely with them.
Okay.
Depends on, in fact, one of the companies that I've been working with for a year and a half, the lead came through the Chamber of Commerce, so I always include them through all the meetings that we have. And they're hopefully, we're not sure, but we're hoping that we're going to be able to get them. It's been a year and a half. You never know. But we're still talking. We're still moving forward.
Were you part of the Cal Ranch Stores deal?
That was specific for the city.
That was for Kingman. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was Bennett and Gary.
They actually hired a consultant that came in, and the consultant brought Cal Ranch to him. I'm excited. I like shopping there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm. And the rail hub that Kingman is that a big factor as well when it comes to incentives?
Incentives, and maybe to entice, yes.
To
bring them here. That is one factor, yes. Yes. We have other rail spurs as well throughout the county, so... but we always try and get them there because there's more businesses there to support each other.
Okay.
So, and that's really a positive when you talk to the company and you say, well, you know what, you can come here, but maybe some of your vendors are already here transportation's already in place. Everything's ready to go.
Right, right. What are we seeing as far as the I-11 corridor and completion and that sort of thing? Are we looking long-term, short-term? Long-term, I mean 10 years or more.
I don't know that. But I would say to get the completion, it's probably closer to 10 years. I don't know that. But I do know that because it's coming, we have a lot of businesses that are coming up and down that corridor between the I-40 and 93. And if you come out of Vegas, I don't know how long it's been since you've driven up to Vegas, but we've got, just in the White Hills alone, I think we've got 4 or 5 new gas stations.
I've noticed that, putting in
an airport. We've got the turbines that have gone in. And as you continue down, there's more coming. And there's more going east on 40 and then south again on 93. So it's beginning. People are starting to see that it's time for that to come to fruition, and they're preparing.
My dad left a small lot in Dolan Springs, like right there on the highway, and I keep telling my mom, hang on to it, hang on to it. So I imagine the property values are starting to rise in that area.
I would think so. Would love to get a hotel in that area. And I had one that was going to come in, and then the person that was, they had franchisee, and the franchisee with COVID doesn't have his money anymore. So we're starting over.
Yeah. Right. Let's take a phone call.
Sure.
Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
They're going to be fixing that intersection at Dolan Springs here. ADOT's going to be working on that, I've heard. Finally having a safe access to the Pierce Ferry Road there off of 93.
Is there a gas station in there, Kenny?
Yeah.
Right, right. I saw it's that. That's very, very close to the property I was talking about.
A colleague saw a wrecked car being towed away that was just practically cut in half trying to deal with that intersection there. It's a pretty dangerous situation, and we're putting pressure on ADOT to do something about it.
Right, right. Did you have a question for Tammy Ersenbach?
Yeah, Tammy, now Dolan Springs is expanding pretty quickly. You know, the county's put some extra money in the roads over there to Pierce Ferry Road to try and improve the situation some. I was just wondering, I noticed that the property owners associations are expanding in that area, and they've mentioned that they're going to be using hydrologists to study the flood situation and the water flow in the areas. And I was wondering if you might have any comments or any knowledge of expansion and the use of hydrologists to control the water flow in the area, and I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Kenny.
I do not, unfortunately. I do the one part, and then we have a whole area that works with the water and the flood control with the county, and so I turn all of that over to them. So unfortunately, I don't have that. That I do know that I have talked to some businesses that are looking to come into Dolan Springs, Meadview area. So it's looking to grow, but I don't have anything definite from them yet.
All right. You ready to take a break, Jim?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's take our first break. We're with Tammy Ersenbach. She is the Mojave County Economic Development Director. Brother Jim here as well. You know what that means?
It's Monday.
Well, yeah, and you ask questions, too. That's what that means. All right. I'm Paul Lavoie. We'll be back with Speak Out. More in a moment. Stay with us. And welcome back to Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie, and on Speak Out 2.0 today, after the top of the hour news, David Torres from Risen Star Boarding and Training, and a good friend of mine on the second half of the show, Autumn Boyle Robinson from the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Colorado River. And Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, GDK CPA LLC, Horizon Community Bank, Springburg McAndrew Financial Services, Patio Paradise, and by Connected Computer and Technology.
And they're good folks all. They just want a shot at your business, so give them a try. And when you do, tell them you heard about them on Speak Out.
Absolutely. And a question we had before the show, how can I listen to the show online? Well,
how can we?
Funny you ask, Tammy. KNTRTalk.com. We stream there live. And the show archives are there as well at kntrtalk.com. And you'll be able to hear this show, sometime this afternoon. And we leave them up for about 30 days. So we'll be able to hear all of the wisdom of Brother Jim Russell.
That's right. And I want to add to that wisdom.
Almost in perpetuity for 30 days.
Right. Depending on your life cycle.
Exactly.
Tammy, I cannot imagine how difficult your sales job must be and how competitive it must be out there. How on earth are you able to bring anyone? I mean, do you spend your life cold calling? Do you get enough leads coming in to generate interest?
Just before you answer that, I've known a lot of people who have tried and a lot of people who have failed at that job.
It's not
so much at the county, but with the city,
the municipality,
it is not an easy position.
Yeah, it sounds easy on the outside, but my golly, what a tough job.
Do you know, I think the good thing for me is that I've had this job before.
Yes.
Right.
And I've made contacts in other states because of it. So I've been doing this for 12 years and had a sales job before that I was able to pull from. So I've got years and years worth of contacts I'm able to pull from. And I would say probably at least half of what I work on are coming from people that I've met before.
Sure.
It is very competitive. Doesn't matter where you're at, what position you're in, but those are the people that I usually reach out to because I've already created those relationships with. They trust me. I had a phone call one day that said, Tammy, we found you on LinkedIn because we're not happy and we haven't been able to find the resources that you know how to find. Could you work with us? And so maybe in another 6 months or a year, we'll be able to bring them here as well. But that's the biggest thing. And networking and working with people. Yes, we have people and businesses that call into the county. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that we don't because we're in a prime location. We're going to get that. Mm-hmm. But also knowing who those are to reach out to. Do I do cold calls? Not so far. I haven't had to. I'm pretty busy to be able to keep up with what I already have. But that doesn't mean I'm not out calling and talking to people all the time that I already have those relationships with.
So I would think the northernmost part of the county, the Beaver Dam, Colorado City, thank you, mm-hmm. and that area would be the toughest part to recruit to market for. But other than that, what other part of the county, as far as Kingman, Lake Havasu City, and Bullhead City, what's the toughest part of the county, do you think, to place a business in? Like a Golden Valley? I mean, I'm not asking you to pick on anybody.
No,
I'm just saying challenging. What's the most challenging?
It's going to be infrastructure, so I'm going to say anywhere other than that. Now, the Griffith area is easy because some of that infrastructure is already in place. But if you're going to go to Topok or somewhere like that, it's going to be harder because the infrastructure isn't in place.
That makes sense. Like, so where the old steel, North Star Steel was, what's in there now? Anything in there now?
I'm not sure which one you're talking about.
Right off of Shinnerump Road, there's a giant plant.
Nucor.
Oh, yeah, Nucor Steel. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Nucor Steel. Mm-hmm. Used to be called North Star Steel.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was before my time. So.
Yeah, right.
But, yes, they are there. They're doing well. And there are businesses looking to come around in that area.
Some of those green projects, like you've seen the wind turbines and mm-hmm. that sort of thing. Yeah, I'm not trying to get you to say who, but the realm of the scope of their business.
For the green
companies
coming
that are,
in?
Yes.
We do have some looking.
Oh, okay.
I would say we've got some, like a biodiesel type company that's looking to come in. We've got two or three others that are a new product that's not even on the
door.
Yeah,
huh?
They're not even out there yet. Exactly. Oh. It's a new product that's completely not even on the market. So we have some new things that are looking to come into the area too, which is exciting.
We're getting cutting edge stuff here now.
Yeah.
lots without telling you anything, right?
How big does a business have to be to get your attention?
It doesn't take anything. If
really?
If it's just one owner, I'm there to support him.
Uh-huh.
If it's a large company, I'm there to support him. It's the same. Now, for incentives from the state, we need to have them hire at least 5 employees to be able to qualify for the incentives in our area because we're rural. But other than
that's interesting. So beginning at 5 employees,
the state has
a bag of tricks they can help you with.
Exactly. But for me, I'm there to help everybody. It doesn't matter.
So you told us earlier you came from Price, Utah.
I was in Price for a while.
Price is near, is that Milford?
It's in Carbon County, so it's an hour from east from Spanish Fork.
Oh.
And it's about an hour and 45 minutes from Moab.
Oh, east of Spanish Fork.
Mm-hmm.
So dinosaur country.
It is.
Oh, I've been there.
Wow.
So I know where
a dinosaur?
No, but I know where Vernal is.
Well,
I've stayed in Vernal.
Vernal's 2 hours from there.
Okay.
So
you're right in the middle.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Interesting.
Yeah,
so what are the differences between attracting businesses for that area
good question.
And for this area?
Oh, much easier here.
Wow. Okay. That's a great answer.
First of all, because we're close to California. We've got the interstate here. We have the workforce here. And I can go on and on and on. We've got the infrastructures here. That particular area, and I had never been there when I took the job, it is very coal-oriented. And then Vernal's more oil and gas. So I worked
Absolutely.
With all of those. We had gas and coal specifically in our area. And they had a hard time wanting to diversify from that. So I brought in several jobs, several small companies, but when a company in Utah, their minimum wage is $7.25, you bring in a company that pays $12 or $14 an hour, that feels pretty decent.
Uh-huh.
That didn't to them because most of the coal jobs start around $80 an hour.
Oh my.
And so,
wow. And you wonder why coal isn't working.
And so it was
Good
very
heavens.
Difficult to bring in some companies and be competitive,
mm-hmm.
number one.
Sure.
And number two, like I said earlier, it's the relationships. We have to feel welcome, and they didn't always feel as welcome as they wanted because of this coal, especially if I brought something different than coal that was green energy or something else. It was a real challenge.
Well, you talked about workforce in that answer, but a lot of people that I talked to at the city, at each city, all cities, city managers, they talk about the challenge with the workforce here. Is that also, so I'm kind of wondering what you meant by we have the workforce.
We've got a bit, well, first of all, we've got a county that's 212,000. And Carbon County was 20,000.
Oh, okay. that's a bigger workforce.
So, yeah. So sure. That alone, but yes, not everyone's trained here, but we've got the colleges that'll help work with us, and Arizona at Work has training programs. And so I utilize and build on that when I'm talking to businesses.
Right.
Let's see what your needs are, and we can actually go out and recruit people from outside the area to come in that have those skills anyway.
Okay. I have a couple other questions, but we're at the bottom of the hour. We've sailed past it.
Yep.
So, but, you know, being the show we are, we can float those breaks, as we call it, in the business. Jim even knows what that means.
You bet.
Floating a break. All right. Back with more in a moment. We're talking with Tammy Ersenbach. She is the Mojave County Economic Development Director, along with Brother Jim Russell, my co-host. That's how we know it's Monday.
Yes, indeed.
All right.
You wouldn't know. Plus, you couldn't operate without adult supervision.
No, I couldn't. I'm Paul Lavoie. We'll return with Speak Out in just a moment. Stay with us. Brought to you in part by Mojave Community College, also Shagru's Family of Restaurants, the Better Business Bureau, SamsGuns.com, Sun Power by Esme Electric, Big Sky Insurance, Herb's Herbs, so many sponsors, Jim.
Yes.
And by the Lewis team, Bobby Lewis, Julie Lewis, Brian Besley, and Lori Rule from Coldwell Banker Realty.
They're good folks all, and look how wisely they invest their advertising dollars here on Speak Up.
Absolutely.
Give them a shot at your business.
With the guy who's the poster child for no cloning.
Yeah. Maybe they don't have good judgment.
Oh, boy. What are you going to do, right? Anyway, Tammy Ersenbach is our guest. She is the Mojave County Economic Development Director. And before we get to broadband, I really do want to talk about broadband because it's been such a hot topic with the rural communities. Especially lately with our challenges with Suddenlink, but the challenges of finding land in Mojave County, because Arizona, I believe, is 86% federally owned as far as available land goes. 86% is state lands or BLM managed.
BLM.
Yeah, absolutely. Does that present a challenge for companies or for you when placing them?
For me, it can depending on the company and what their needs are. But there's a lot of land out there that people are willing to sell right now. And so we focus on the private land, and we're still able. It hasn't been an issue, a real issue yet. We've been still able to find the land needed. I have one company that needed almost 2,000 acres, and they were able to find that of private land.
Oh, my goodness.
It wasn't one landowner, but they were able to find the land they needed. So it's out there.
Is that one of those you can name? Or
it's,
not?
It's one that I will be naming in
will
a few
be.
Months.
I like that, will be. Not,
yes, very positive.
It wasn't maybe, will be.
We're planning on, and I can tell you that's called Project Rose. We give everything a project name. And it should be announcing by about April.
Project Rose.
So you want to listen to that one because it will be a big one.
Oh, good.
Has the COVID circumstances had any effect on your business?
Most definitely.
Really?
I had four companies that were ready to make the announcement, go pick up. Two of them were ready to go sign the contract with the bank and go pick up their money. And when all that money came through with PPP, the banks had to say, sorry, your money has to go somewhere else.
My.
And they were not able to pick up the money. So I'm still working with one of them in particular, needs about $5 million. They've already got everything else. And as soon as they can get that last $5 million, then we're ready to move forward.
Well, you can handle that for him.
Sure.
Yeah. Maybe the mothership.
It's a project that's about $65 million, so we've got it all except that last little bit. But the other, all the money is contingent on that last $5 million, and that's where they went to pick up the check. And then they said, no, we have to wait.
I bet that
so we're getting close.
Are we talking Dot Foods big? Remember Dot Foods?
Yeah. I'm just saying probably bigger.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That is big.
So when they come, yeah.
What a disappointment that must have been.
It's not a disappointment because we haven't lost them.
Well said.
No,
well
not at all.
Yeah,
no,
very good.
No, they're still coming. We just have to figure it out. And we're really close to that right now.
Okay. There was one other thing that I was going to ask you. In the 2 years that you've been on the job, what do you consider your biggest successes? And have you had any major failures that have made you kind of go home and go, oh, man, I need that extra glass of wine?
Do you know,
because you can name the successes.
I'm going to say the biggest success and the biggest, oh dear, I'm struggling, would be the Pegasus group that came in, the Hive.
Oh, yeah,
because
absolutely.
It came in and they were so excited and ready to go and move forward. And one of the challenges was they came in and we didn't realize that we couldn't get fiber to them right away. Mm-hmm. So finally, just a few weeks ago, they finally got fiber to their. So it's been a year and a half, and they finally were able to get fiber there.
Let's talk a little bit about that project, because it's been a while since, because the media just...
It was huge, and then it sits
all
there.
Over it.
So what
does the project do?
So the project is a completely 100% renewable solar data centers. So instead of having one big building, they're going to have small little data centers throughout the whole project. Just little pods. The problem has been is they were getting all of these trailers that had the solar panels on them, and they're still waiting for them. They've been put money in, invested money, and they're still waiting for those to come through. They should have been here like by August or September of last year, so a year and a half ago. And so we thought everything would be up and ready to go. It is not. And that's been my biggest, how are we going to make this work?
But that's no fault of the county.
It's no fault of the county.
This is the fault of their suppliers, right?
They were coming out of bankruptcy, and the courts have not released them.
I see.
So, yes, they've got about 550 there, but that's it.
So we're talking about data storage, data processing, data servers.
Exactly.
Oh.
So they have some movie studios that are going to utilize the data center, so the 3D rendering. Mm-hmm. They've got some hospitals ready to use. We're just waiting for everything to come in. And then even crypto mining, so a little bit of everything. But
wow. Is that the only big project that you want to talk about at this time?
That I've had as a success? Mm-hmm. That's probably the biggest one that I've had as a success.
Oh, absolutely.
anywhere. But it's also been the biggest one that I'm pulling my hair out, and how can I help them, and what can we do to make things happen. Getting fiber there has been huge, because we've worked with about six different companies to try and finally find one that could get it in there as quickly as possible.
How do you make that happen?
How do I make...
Yeah, how did you did you help? What was involved in getting that?
To getting the fiber. So it was a process of finding out who the providers were locally and try and use the local providers first. And when we couldn't move as quickly as possible, then I worked with the state and said, who else is available? We did find a local provider that I didn't know about at the time that was able to bring it in, and it was a very quick process when we did, about 3 months. But before, it's like I said, it's been just a long process of getting to know these people, introducing them, sitting there with meetings, going to Las Vegas, bringing them down here, trying to figure out what we can do to actually make it happen.
So just to clarify that was the actual mechanical act of installing the fiber optic?
It was.
From where did it come?
So
the trunk, yeah.
So I will tell you, there two things. Number one, normally in this area they have a main line that Zayo owns that Suddenlink and some of the others pull off of.
Right.
But WeCom doesn't pull off of there. So they use their own lines. And so they put in their own lines. They're already, you know, have the lines in the ground where they need to be. And so part of it's in the ground. Part of it is actually on electrical
lines. And that's
lines.
WECOMS exclusively, obviously, it since is. They
so,
laid
so
that cable.
So how far, what kind of a distance so were you this, were you challenged by?
It wasn't very much. It was about 10 miles. It
oh,
wasn't,
okay.
Yeah,
10 miles.
Very,
wow.
very, yeah, very short considering.
And what's the physical location of those pods?
So, if you know on I-40 where the Griffith Power Plant
yes.
is, it's
yes.
just north of the Griffith
Power
Plant, about a mile and a quarter, mile and a half north of the power plant.
Sure, sure. Wow. Mm-hmm. That is an interesting project. And the knowledge that you have to have, Tammy, just to talk to those companies that want to come. I mean, you have to have a broad breadth of knowledge when it comes to a lot of different topics, don't you?
it's fun.
So while we're on that topic, let's talk about broadband and rural broadband in particular.
Nice segue.
That's thank you. I was hoping she would answer with the Hive, so we could go into the broadband initiative for rural counties.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of challenges are we facing there?
So there is a lot of challenges. One, some positive things are that. About a year ago, year and a half ago, I don't remember, WECOM actually received a federal grant to take the broadband or from Kingman out to Peach Springs. So that's going to give us a main line that we can actually tap into later. Mojave Electric Co-op is in the process of putting their own lines in, which is massive, 10 gigabytes for the businesses and up to 4 gigabytes for homes, which we've never heard of. I mean, they will have the best broadband in the whole state.
Wow,
and
really?
probably in many states.
10 gig is fast.
It's huge.
Sure.
Never heard of anybody doing that so far. And then I have created a broadband action team to see what we can do to fill in the blanks, fill in the parts. So Mojave Electric will go down to Topoc and up to Davis Camp and so many miles east and west, but what happens to the rest? So how am I going to get it to Golden Valley and Dolan Springs and Meadview and, you know, some of the other areas? What can we do to help fill in the places down here in Havasu that are missing? And so that's what this broadband action team is working on.
So are they not planning to expand to the northern reaches of their member area?
WECOM or who are you meeting? Or MEC?
Yeah. Because they originated in Kingman originally, and a lot they go all the way up to Peach Springs and then south to Wickiup.
I will tell you that I don't know what their full plans are.
But
I know
now
that
it's
they're
Bullhead
looking.
City.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and Mojave Valley.
Exactly.
Okay.
I know that they're a co-op. They're going to have to provide so much for their people that buy into that. But I don't know their customers.
Where Valley Vista is, they also provide electricity there.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So it could be that would be up to them. I know that there has been a grant/loan that has been submitted for the east side of the county over there, but it has not been received yet from the federal government.
Oh, I see.
There is a new, just recently last week, there were some more grants that were sent out that we can look at and apply for. So there's some that we're working on. The other thing I'm trying to do is work with the farmers. What can we do with the farmers to get them to buy in? And maybe we can, that's how we're going to be able to fill in some of those gaps because they need it. It'll help to conserve water. It'll help for them to be more productive in their job and what they're doing as well.
Okay. Boy, Jim, she's got a lot of irons and a lot
of
fires.
Well, and just another one of your irons off of the air. You had mentioned that one of your areas of responsibility and concern is business retention. That must be an additional challenge. My gosh, just COVID alone must be introducing a whole unexpected challenge
retention. Well, yeah, and when you think of 2008, around 2008, 2010, and what that did to this area, too. I know you weren't here, but, that would present a challenge as well if
decimated.
The economy were to go that way again. Anyway, we have a phone call.
Gosh.
Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hello?
Yeah, hello, caller. Go ahead.
Well, I would like to ask Tammy a couple of questions about Pegasus and hopings to protect Mojave County employees and residents with future companies that come in here. And do me a favor, if I get out of hand, please don't cut me off. Maybe educate me on how I can better myself.
Okay, we only have about 3 minutes.
It'll only take a couple minutes. So the problem with Pegasus is that they have not only lied to Tammy and her office, but they have lied to the employees. It was great that the fiber came in. The fiber was needed. We had problems getting shipping as far back as last October. They've also been able to make money because they have been doing the crypto mining. The average across the country was almost 38% lower than what we were doing out there.
Mm-hmm.
The problem I have is that we have employees that have gotten no help from them. They have gotten pandemic help from the government that come out of taxpayers' dollars that have not transported to the employees. We have employees that left jobs of 10-plus years for this great vision and great hope that has been destroyed because we have heard nothing as far as email or phone calls or anything since July or August.
Hmm.
Now, it's great that Tammy's doing what she's doing. I applaud her. It's great to bring more business into the county, but how can we protect ourselves from this happening again?
Tammy, is that something you can help this listener with when we're off the air?
I would love to do that off the air,
okay.
Yes. But I also want to just make a comment that I have talked to two or three of their employees recently as well, and there has been some contact with them, so I do know that things are moving forward. But because of everything, they are just kind of sitting back and waiting to see what they can and reevaluating where they're at so that they can move forward. If we can't get the trailers, then let's see what else we can do to get that going. So I didn't want to leave the other listeners wondering, but would love to help that person offline.
Okay, Colin.
I do have one more question. Maybe the other listeners might be interested in.
Okay,
if
hurry.
If they're telling you they've contacted employees, and they also told you that the on-site manager and the CEO are both gone.
I do know that, and it was the employees that contacted me. It was not Pegasus.
Yes, ma'am. I believe I might be that employee. I was
no,
just curious.
No, meaning that the employees contacted me to say that Pegasus has been in contact with them recently.
Is there anything that your office can do to aid the employees that have not been contacted in any form?
That would be through the Arizona at Work.
Yes, ma'am. Well, they don't help you. They you say you have graduated out of the program and they can't help you.
All right.
Well, I'd love to talk to you offline again.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Oh, well, thank you.
Hey,
thanks for listening.
The call.
We appreciate it. And, well, that wraps up the hour.
Yes.
That's fantastic. Real fast.
Yeah. and nice handling of the phone call, by the way.
So we're not on there.
No, yeah, we're on the air. We're still on the air.
Okay.
I just need to thank you for stopping by.
Well, thank you.
And hopefully that didn't scare you off and we
of
can get you back
not.
On the
I would,
program again.
I would love to come back anytime. You just call.
That's wonderful. All right, Tammy Ersenbach, our guest. She's the Mojave County Economic Development Director. Myself, Paul Lavoie, Brother Jim Russell, will be back in a moment. So stay with us on Speak Out. Thanks, Tammy. We're back on Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie, speaking of Black Cat X. That's one of our new songs.
Oh, good.
I don't think they heard that at the beginning of the show, though, because
yeah.
We had some technical
issues with the board.
Stuff going on. But I was just reminded of Cal Worthington and his dog, Spot.
Yes.
I was talking about Cal Sheehy's going to be on the show tomorrow. And the song, Go See Cal, Go See Cal, Go See Cal, was going through my head. And I'm a Southern Nevadan. So, yeah, I heard that stuff secondhand.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Cal Sheehy, the mayor of Lake Havasu City, on the show tomorrow. He'll be bringing in normally another council member.
Good.
Probably the new vice mayor. I'm not sure who the new vice mayor is.
Nor I.
I guess we'll find out.
right? Reason to tune in tomorrow.
That's why we're hard-hitting, top-notch news right here at the Radio Central News Network. What can I say?
competing with 60 Minutes.
Right. So, let's see. Autumn Boyle Robinson and David Torres are Larry's guests on Speak Out 2.0. After news and a short break, and we'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out. Be safe out there.